later, tell them it's up here. Now I don't know what to do with this until we're done. Yeah, I'm sure you guys would hold it real steady during service. I'm sure. I've met your parents, and I don't trust that. I'll just keep it up here, and if I see anybody nodding off. All right, we are talking about being purposeful and persevering this morning. This is the last one of this part of the series. Darren's going to be doing something different on discipleship next week. And then we're into Easter, Good Friday, Palm Sunday with our baptisms and memberships class service. And then Good Friday and Easter and lots of celebrating going on. But this is the last one of this portion of our discipleship series. Would you join me in prayer as we consider this topic? Heavenly Father, we do bow before you, God. The fact that you call us, commission us, and redeem us. We are overwhelmed at who you are, how good you are, your overwhelming grace and mercy. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to be our teacher this morning. Lead us into some truths that free us, that dispel lies. Give us the encouragement we need to take the next step so that we can be more purposeful and we can persevere in all that we face for your glory and for your sake, Jesus. Amen. In our series, Disciples Making Disciples for God's Glory and Our Joy. And those really are married together, walking through this. And our topic, purposeful and persevering. Very purposeful. There is a target in walking. So our definition there of becoming lifelong apprentices for Jesus. But he's given us a way of walking. Fix our eyes on him. We're apprentices of Jesus. There's our target. He is the way, the truth, the life. And there isn't any other way. He is the focus that we're aiming at and we're walking with. And it's a response to the radical love that Jesus has for us. It's a response, right? It doesn't earn us anything. However good we live out our Christian life, that's religion if we're trying to earn something with God. But it's out of gratitude. Here's what he's done for us. He's died for me. He's made forgiveness possible for me. And out of that, we live and we aim at the target. It's he's worthy of glory that we get to serve him. So let's consider purpose first being purposeful. Doing things on purpose, right? I could have told the children up here, okay, throw this ball and hit the target, but I'm not going to tell you where the target is. I'm not going to define it at all. Just throw the ball, right? But a lot of times in our Christian life, we're that lacking in purpose. We have no real specific goals that we're trying to achieve or see happen in people's lives or even in our own lives, right? What's your goals, for example, for your marriage in the next year? How's it going to move a couple of steps closer to what God has designed marriage to be? Right? Are we purposeful about that? What's our goals? What's the purpose? How are we going to be more and more purposeful, intentional about our relationship with God this year? How's he inviting us to grow and experience him more? How are we going to be purposeful as being a people of God, a people called out, separated from the world, living for him? Right? All sorts of ways we can be purposeful. We can't change all areas at once, but we can change some areas at any given time. So how are we living purposefully, on purpose, intentionally? And how are we being people of the kingdom and having impact in our spheres of influence? How are we influencing our fellow students, people at work, for the kingdom? How are we drawing them closer? Are we intentional? Are we purposeful? Are we even listening? Right? I often think about when it becomes intentional, being attentive. Really attentive to the person I'm speaking to, listening with this ear, and attentive to the Holy Spirit with this ear. It's kind of the way it helps me think about it. But asking the question, even while I'm visiting with someone, God, what are you already doing in their life? Do I have a role to play in that? How can I encourage that? Is there a lie they're tripped up on? Is there a truth they need to dispel that lie? What's going on? Are we intentional? Are we living on purpose? Being purposeful in the way we live? Let's dive into Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read through this. Think about it on these lines, about how much purposeful language is in here. Therefore, since we have surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight. There's a purpose to this, laying things aside. And the sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. And here's why he did it. Here's the purpose. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He didn't just endure the cross for something to do. He wasn't bored that day and took on this incredible challenge. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy, we could unpack that for a long time here, the joy that was set before him. It wasn't just him being elevated again to his rightful place in heaven at the right hand of God, but the joy of the impact throughout the ages of making a way that we can be in relationship with God, right? Think of Luke chapter 15. The lost coin is found. They celebrate. The lost sheep, right? 99 here, one gone, goes out, finds it. They celebrate. The lost son, when he returns home, celebration. There's great rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. The joy that was set before him helped him be purposeful. There's a reason why he does these things. The next couple verses. Consider him. Think about Jesus, right? It said in that last part, fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Now it says, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you might not grow weary or faint-hearted. So consider his. Here's what he endured. That should encourage us. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. You've not yet resisted in your struggle to the point of giving your life. It's not as far as Jesus went yet, if we're still alive. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, there's a purpose. We're called sons and daughters. Adopted into this family. Not because I deserve it, but because of his mercy and his grace. And now I want to live intentionally, on purpose for him. Because I am his son. I want to reflect that. Do not regard like my sons and daughters would be an accurate way of looking at this. Do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Nor be weary when reproved by him, or corrected by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves. And he chastises every son or every daughter whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which have all participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons or not daughters. Besides this, we have all had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and life and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good. What an amazing God we have. There's no mixed motives with him. He disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands, strengthen your weak knees, make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone. Right? We're continuing on this journey, being purposeful in our relationships, striving for peace with everyone, and for the holiness, and without which no one will see the Lord. We're encouraging that in each other's lives, moving towards holiness, living set apart for God. And see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. What an incredible purpose. What a target to hit. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. That should invigorate us to get up in the morning. Wow, I can have a role to play in my neighbor or my coworker or my fellow church member in them experiencing the grace of God. Not just a forgiveness from me, but forgiveness and grace, an ongoing grace in their lives from God. Found this cartoon. Well, sort of a cartoon. But it's the mom and dad sheep looking at their son bouncing around like crazy, and I can't even hardly read it here. My 40-year-old eyes are in too. And they're wondering what purpose God has for them in the future. Don't we look at that? We see our children. We go, wow, what God might do through them in the future. Right? What might He do if we're purposeful, intentional, helping them to live on purpose, helping them focus on Jesus, the author and perfecter of their faith, and walking towards them? What might God do in us and through us if we're on purpose, not just kind of casually going through it? Even when we read Scripture, are we doing it on purpose? Do we really believe that God wants to speak to us? How do we use our creativity if we go into the next one right there? A purposeful creativity, right? We use our creativity in all sorts of ways. Some bring glory to God and some don't. What if when we're reading Scripture, we read it creatively? We involve ourselves in the story. What's this purpose? Person thinking and feeling? What would I think and feel in that scenario? Right? It's not just reading for intellectual knowledge. Okay, good. Now I know more about that story. Just in case somebody asks me, I want to demonstrate how smart I am. Right? That's not purposeful. That's a whoa. But purpose of impacting other people, of using my creativity and really receiving what God has for me, and being equipped to pass on to others what God wants to give me, right? Generous with everything He gives me. He's giving us knowledge. He's giving us input. Are we purposeful in the way we're living? A growing disciple is living on purpose. It's living purposefully. The greatest enemy of Christianity is not some of the other false religions around the world, but it's lostness. It's giving in to our own lostness, our own propensity to go our own way, rather than being intentional about following, being Christ followers. Are we doing that on purpose, or have we lost sight of Jesus and we've lowered it down? Well, I'm good enough compared to my neighbors from seeing them from arm's length. I'm good enough. Really? That's never been what we've been called to as followers of Jesus. We're following Jesus. Are we purposeful doing that? Receiving what He wants to give us? Are we complacent about the lostness of others? Or are we living on purpose to bring people to the light? Introduce them to Jesus, and Jesus to them. Well, Jesus knows them, but living on purpose. Next, a growing disciple is also persevering. We don't give up. It is discouraging. It's frustrating, right? We get into relationships in the church, outside the church, people let us down. We want to give up. We want to break fellowship. We want to give up on our marriages and our families. We want to give up on church life. We want to give up on what don't we want to give up? There's lots of days I want to give up myself, hop in a truck and just drive. But I can't run away from myself and I can't run away from this fallen planet, can I? But we want to at times, but we persevere. Perseverance is a patient endurance of hardship, right? We don't have to persevere when it's easy, but don't we usually often expect life to be easy? Hey, we get involved in a church, it's going well for a while. Oh, then someone lets us down. We're disappointed in this way. There's miscommunication in that way. Oh, what? Don't you know what I mean? No, we only have our own perspective to hear. It takes real purposefulness to be clear communicators and not have miscommunication. Reel her ugly head in there and confuse things. But that's the way it is on a fallen planet. And we persevere in that relationship, in moving together forward. And it's persisting in a state of enterprise, so it's for a purpose, in spite of difficulties and discouragement. Finding a way to move forward, finding a way to make our relationships work. I'm going to reread Hebrews 12. Same passage, but think about it in the persevering sense this time. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, do we persevere differently when we know people are cheering us on? A great cloud of witnesses. These aren't people who are perfect. This is a whole list here in Hebrews 11 of people who have failed royally. But in the end, they're still seeking to follow God because it's more about what He's doing and what He's done than how good they're following. And it's these people who have fallen and scratched their knee and got banged up, and they're still in the race and they're cheering us on. Go, go, you can do it. They're encouraging. Whole cloud of witnesses. For this reason, let us lay aside the weight and the sin that clings so closely. Here's the reason why we set sin aside. Because it's hindering us from experiencing God as He really is. It's hindering us from having impact in the world. It's hindering us from bringing glory to Him. Hindering our own journeys. And let us run with endurance. Endurance, right? This isn't a 50-meter walk. Nor a 50-meter sprint. This is a marathon. This is a long one. The race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, right? You ever try running as fast as you can that way while you're looking over there? Right? That's why you do those games. You put the pole on, you spin around as fast as you can 20 times, and then you try and run. Right? It makes a fun video, a good laugh, but there's no way to live our lives. We need to live purposefully looking at Jesus and running towards Him. Are we still doing that? Or we have, well, I'm all right. Compared to somebody else, I'm all right. How about compared to Jesus and His holiness? Are we still persevering? Enduring. Endurance, the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter, so He's bringing about the change in an ongoing way to our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured, there's perseverance, but He could see why He was persevering, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself. He didn't deserve any of it, right? He could have got up there and complained and went, oh, I don't deserve any of this. I lived the perfect life. All I did was love people. He endured because there was something bigger. There was a reason to endure. So that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. That's why we consider Him. Focus on Him. Don't become weary. Don't become distracted. You know what? There's lots of false religions and even some professing believers teaching false stuff. Don't throw up our hands and go, well, it doesn't matter. Canada's going to hell, world's going to hell, he'll fix it all in the end. No, the purpose is to have as much impact as we can before he returns. Don't lose heart. He's still moving through us and doing stuff. Let's do it. Just keep on in your struggle against sin. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. I think there's a good case to be made here. We often interpret this against sin, my own sin. Yes, absolutely true. You have not resisted. But it's consider him and it's his example. Whose sin was he fighting against? Mine? Yours? Yes, even against our battle, our fight against others' sin, we have not yet resisted. We have not yet. Don't give up moving towards someone in love just because they're sinning back, right? Love your enemies. Can we do this apart from Christ? Absolutely not, but don't give up, right? He's the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's look to him and go, God, I want to hate that person. They're treating me not very nice right now. I want to react. I want to retaliate. I want to get them back. Don't. You can resist even the sin coming towards us and still in some way do what's on their best, for what's best for them. In Christ we can do this, not apart from him. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? Right? Sons and daughters. Are we living like we're princes and princesses of the King? Because that is what we are if we're walking with Jesus. Amen. We are that. So let's persevere to keep learning that. Keep learning what it is to live like the King. And yes, we're going to face discipline, but don't become weary. See the result of it. He disciplines those he loves and chastises those who he receives. It's for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons and as daughters because we're loved and we're fully received. And it makes us more like him. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us perfectly for our good, that we may share in his holiness. Right? Be more set apart unto God. For the moment, all discipline seems painful, and we would rather avoid pain, but endure, persevere, Christian. Rather, it's not pleasant, but later the yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands, strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. And that's in the body. That's not just in us. We interpret it very individualistically, but as I keep saying, Scripture is written to the people, the royal priesthood, a holy nation. It affects it all. It affects the whole body. Strive for peace with everyone and for holiness for everyone. Moving everyone towards what God has set them apart to be and to do. Are we truth speakers in our relationship? Helping, hey, you just failed right now. You're still a child of the King. We need people to speak that to us. We need people to say, you're forgiven. It's one thing to know, yeah, okay, I'm forgiven by God. It's another to have someone with flesh on speak it. And we speak truth into one another's lives. Strive for peace with everyone and for holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. Keep persevering. It matters. It matters for eternity. Right? After our 80 years or whatever we have on the planet, how will we have affected eternity? That's what will have really mattered. You see the little thing come up there? Sometimes you just have to pick up yourself and carry on. I thought that was a pretty cute picture. I'm going to do that next time I peel an orange. But sometimes we put a great pressure. Oh, we've got to do this. I've got to carry. I've got to live out this. No, he's the author and perfecter of our faith. He brings this about. He helps us persevere. But we're looking. We're looking to him purposefully and persevering towards him because it matters. And that's why we strip off every weight. We can get into that much longer, what the weight is. But ask yourselves, what's hindering us from moving forward towards God, towards becoming the people of God, and affecting, impacting the world around us and the sin that so easily trips us up? Sometimes we're much easier tripped up, like I said earlier, by someone else's sin, right? Than we are our own. And it's a both and in this passage. But don't let it trip us up. Don't lose sight of the purpose, the focus here, who is Jesus, and let us run with the next slide, with perseverance, the race marked out for us. I've already mentioned Ephesians 10 in this series, the works created in advance that we might walk in them, or in this passage, run in them, fully moving forward, believing God's doing something bigger than we can see or we can imagine. If we go to the next cartoon there, we got hammer and nail. The little bolt over there saying, "Zowie, nail, you sure get hit in the head a lot." "Ha, every time I get hit, it just drives me deeper into the wood," right? It's growing his faith, growing his perseverance. And he goes, this is a good thing. Some of the challenges I'm facing, North American culture is pretty much have our doctorate. We're so good at avoiding things that are uncomfortable, painful. We have no theology of suffering. I tell you, the early disciples sure did, and they turned the world on its head. The suffering we go through isn't without a reason or a cause, but God working his good purposes through it. But will we believe him? Will we believe him? And fix our eyes on him and still persevere. To persist in anything undertaken. Maintain a purpose in spite of difficulty, obstacles, or discouragement. Continue steadfastly. Whatever's going on, I'm still walking towards Jesus. I'm still going. My progress might be slow, but it's going in the right direction. When we see what God will do if we will surrender to him. I have a couple examples here, and then we've got a video to watch. But think about a bee, even before we get to those slides. The bee is busy, right? We see them hovering all around. Some of them we don't like it. To produce 1 pound of honey, the bee has to visit 56,000 clover heads. I don't know who had all the time to count that up, but somebody figured it out. Take his word for it, because I'm not going to count it. Since each head has 60 flower tubes, a total of 3,360,000 visits are necessary to give that pound of honey for the breakfast table. That's crazy, hey? I just had it on my Welsh cakes this morning. Not a whole pound, but I had some honey on there, and I didn't make any of it. Meanwhile, the worker bee has flown the equivalent of 3 times around the world. Realize how inefficient that is? I don't know if you've heard that, but with his little wings, they're pathetically inefficient flyers, too. To produce 1 tablespoon of honey for our toast, the little bee makes 4,200 trips to flowers. He makes about 10 trips a day to the fields, each trip lasting 20 minutes average and 400 flowers. The worker bee will fly as far as 8 miles if he cannot fly then find the nectar at a closer batch of flowers. He's flying eight miles away sometimes. Therefore, persist in what is a difficult task and remember the bee. It's a good example for us. Hey, some of the most influential people, right? I could ask you for some famous composers. Mozart is one of them.
Beethoven.
There was an example with Mozart too that I didn't record here, but here's one from Beethoven. Beethoven is unsurpassed in his painstaking fidelity to his music. Hardly a bar of his was ever written that he had not rewritten at least a dozen times. He persevered. Is it right? And we sing it decades and lots later, right? Some songs, they come and go. It's all sorts of examples of people who have painstakingly persevered to get it right. Are we persevering at what actually matters? Are we purposefully living on purpose in things that truly matter? Is there a target? I remember sitting on the dunk, you all know what a dunk tank is, right? You get the little platform, you hook it there, and you sit up there while they throw balls at the little target, and if they hit it, sploosh, right? There's a target. There's an on purpose. We want to sink this guy. Just for some fun, people will pay money. They will invest in that endeavor, and they will expend great energy just to sink another human being in a tub of water. What will we invest to see someone come to know Jesus and have an eternity with Him? Some energy? Some investment? Are we really following Jesus on purpose? Now we look at these next pictures up here. It's following Jesus. That's what a disciple is. Taking position right behind Him. Following in His footsteps. Intentionally. You can't be walking again that direction and imitating Him if we're going to take our eyes off Him. Are we really focused on who He is and listening attentively to Him? Are we listening to what He's teaching, to understand, to know, to be able to pass on to others? The disciples felt horribly ill-equipped. When He returns to heaven, He says, here, you go to the nations. You got to stick around. Well, He says, I'm sending the Holy Spirit to help you. The same Holy Spirit that is teaching us, leading us, guiding us. But are we purposeful in listening? Are we being attentive? Are we asking when we get up in the morning, Lord, what part of the works created in advance would you have me walk in today? And it takes intentionality to focus. Keep going. Each step may get harder, but don't stop. The view is beautiful from the top. It will be worth it. The celebration will be worth it. In fact, we will look back and we're going, why didn't I invest more? We get to the end. We'll go, why didn't I invest more? We'll wonder that. And I'd rather not wonder that. I'd rather choose now to live on purpose and to persevere, even when it's uncomfortable and painstaking. Think of these verses that we've been reading and these concepts. To watch this video, I'll make a couple comments and we'll close with a song. But consider this video if they can bring it up there in the next couple minutes.